back with First Name Sports on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Live from the Sports Map Radio studios, here's Greg Frank.
Okay, let's go out to the Progressive Guest Line and bring on a guy who contributes to our network and covers the Celtics for Sports Illustrated. He is Bobby Krivitsky, kind enough to take a few minutes out of his Tuesday afternoon to join us. Bobby, good to have you aboard. How are you?
Hey, Greg, I'm doing great. How's everything on your end?
Absolutely, yeah, doing pretty well myself. And let's just dive in with what happened last night for the Celtics. Tight, you know, same old nonsense at home that we can't figure out? Like, how do you explain it?
Yeah, a little bit of everything where, on one hand, they've admitted and they've addressed it internally and then they don't seem to actually handle it on the court is that they come home and they feel like it is tailor-made and set up for them to win. And as they acknowledge, they relax a little bit. They take their foot off the gas. And especially when you do that against a team like the Heat, you're in trouble and you open yourself up to a loss. And then Jason Tatum gets hurt on the first play of the game. So he's compromised. He said it himself. He was, quote, a shell of himself. And he wasn't milking it or anything like that. He just genuinely was on a bad wheel the rest of the game. And so you go from averaging 30 points to putting up 14. That's a huge difference right there. I mean, he scores 16 more points just to get up to his average. It's a three-point game if you just look at the final score. And if he's putting up 16 more points, who knows the swing and the ramifications of that on the outcome and what else changes as a result of the butterfly effect. And at the same time, Miami thoroughly outplayed them, and all of the Celtics' worst problems resurface to the light, as they have at times this series and throughout this playoff run, starting with foremost getting away from a defensive identity that keyed their success last season and got them to the finals, and this year being so reliant on three-pointers, it's more fickle, and that shooting variance ultimately doomed them, and it took away from their focus defensively last night.
Okay, so when it comes to things like lack of focus defensively and these, you know, kind of showing up to the building and expecting to win mindset, how do you assign the blame there? I know Joe Mazzulla has taken a lot of heat, no pun intended, during the playoffs, but I don't know. I kind of look at the star players, and I know Tatum was hurt last night, but Jaylen Brown just didn't show up. Like, I think that's a star player thing before it's a coaching thing. Do you agree?
Yeah, without a doubt. Now, I will say this, that the identity shift stemmed from Mazzulla. But at the same time as the players, you have to take control of the ship. And they did, after they went down 3-0 to Miami, they said, hey, we need to get back to a defensive identity. And there were times throughout the season and in the playoffs where they had that same approach, but they could never consistently stick with it. And you thought maybe, well, they're on this three-game run here, and they've got Game 7 in their building. If ever there was a time not to stray from it, to stick with what got you to this point, but it just wasn't the case on Sunday. And I do agree, first and foremost, that falls on the players and it falls on the stars. And the most damning stat to me from last night is not the threes as much as it's dictated who wins and loses in this series. It's Jaylen Brown, career-high 8 turnovers.
Yeah.
His team needed him to step up, and he just wasn't there for him.
Yeah, and you know, we'll get to the Jaylen Brown future stuff in a minute, but just in terms of the vibe last night, it also felt, and I think Malcolm Brogdon pointed at this postgame about how it felt like, to the Heat's credit, they were the looser team. They were the team kind of playing freely. And do you think that maybe some of the chatter and some of the excitement about being the first team to come back from 3-0 and the 0-4 Red Sox stuff, like, did that play some bad mental mind games with the Celtics a little bit?
Well, that was one of the things I was curious to see with the Heat specifically, is you could see them getting more and more tense as the series was getting away from them. But then once it's 3-3 and it's Game 7, sometimes a team in that moment is able to relax, and it's almost like that pressure just lifts off their shoulders. And if any team is capable of that in the NBA, it's the Miami Heat. Mm-hmm. And so I do think that we saw that unfold yesterday, where they went from being tight in Games 5 and 6 to much looser and more relaxed on Sunday. And with the Celtics, I do think there was a bit of nerves that came from being on the doorstep of making history, and from all of a sudden you go from the underdog back to the favorite And I think this team is at its best, even if it has to lie to itself about being the underdog, that's when they're at their best. And it just, it wasn't something that they could really buy into in yesterday's game because everyone was picking them to win.
Bobby, I think that was my biggest problem with the Celtics all playoffs long was that it's just a very flawed and ultimately, I think, you know, preventable way of winning a championship in terms of how you play in the playoffs. And that's, well, we'll just kind of relax and turn it up when we need to. Like, no, these games all count the same. You don't get more wins in the series in games 6 and 7 than you do in games 1 and 2. And, you know, they certainly, you know, toyed with that notion quite a bit against the Sixers. They were able to survive and then obviously not able to dig themselves out of a hole against Miami. So I just think that for whatever reason, there wasn't enough urgency early in these series, right?
Yeah, and that's the prime word right there, urgency. And last year, their whole playoff run, there were golden opportunities squandered. And so what I kept having to write about was, you just wonder, does this come back to cost them at some point? And sure enough, they get to the NBA Finals, and they run out of gas, and their bench is nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
This year, you know, they should have finished off the Atlanta Hawks in 5 games. You could argue they should have swept them, but certainly they're playing at home. The Hawks don't have DeJounte Murray. I spoke with people in that organization who did not expect them to win that game, and sure enough, they pull it out. The Sixers series goes 7. They lose game 1 on their home floor with Joel Embiid on the sideline. And ultimately what happens is when you go to 7 games, it wasn't the fatigue. It was that Jason Tatum, more games, opens yourself up to injuries as well. And he hurts his ankle on the first play. So this team, certainly that lack of urgency for the second postseason in a row has come back to bite them.
Yeah. And, you know, you look at the two teams in the finals. Last night was the first game 7 for Miami, and the Nuggets haven't had to play a game 7. So I definitely think there's something to that. But as far as the Celtics and where they go from here, Jaylen Brown made that All-NBA team. He's eligible for the Supermax. He kind of downplayed the questions about his future last night. So what happens next for this franchise as we head into the summer?
I think it's a negotiation. It's important to remember that they are the only team, even if he's traded, that can offer him $295 million, that full veteran Supermax. I think, given the ramifications and restrictions of the new collective bargaining agreement, that they're going to see how far down they can get him to agree. Now, maybe he doesn't want to be in Boston to begin with. He wants to be 1A undisputed. Maybe just even trying to lower the offer from 295 is insulting enough that it solidifies in his mind that he wants to leave. But maybe he's open to a compromise. And if so, the Celtics could at least play out next season and then decide how they want to reshape this roster. There'll certainly be changes this offseason no matter what. I think that their intention is to keep Jaylen Brown, but then, of course, they might have to revisit this matter next summer.
You know, Bobby, one thing that I also wanted to touch on here was I feel like in the NBA, particularly in big sports markets, and we heard this a little bit after the Sixers were eliminated, some rumblings about which teams would have enough ammo to trade for Joel Embiid and might he request out. And now in Boston, we're hearing this talk about Jaylen Brown's future. I think there's a rush sometimes, again, in these bigger sports markets to move on from these stars a little too quickly when they don't get to the ultimate, you know, top of the mountain. And especially with the Celtics, with the two J's here, Tatum and Brown, they've been to 4 conference finals and 1 NBA finals. I don't think that's anything to hang your head on and be disappointed about. So I would, if I was a Celtics fan, I'd be fine with running it back and keeping these guys around. Do you agree with that notion that sometimes in the bigger sports markets, these stars, you know, fans get impatient and want to run guys out a little quicker than we should?
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said. I remember my first time coming on, I told you I have a lot of Philly fans in my life, and I can't tell you how many trade proposals they've given me, whether it's to send Joel Embiid out,
it's
to bring in. It happens all the time, and it's not just Philly. Obviously, it's all these big markets. I would say especially in the Northeast, but the Lakers fan base is a prime example, too. I mean, how many Photoshop superstars have we seen over the years in the purple and gold? And so with the Celtics, you're exactly right. And it's something I've spoken with Jaylen Brown about before, that him and Tatum together have gone to the Eastern Conference Finals 4 times in 6 years. We're 2 wins away from a title. And Jaylen Brown is 26, just entering the start of his prime. Mm-hmm. At 25, Tatum's not even there yet. So I certainly think the best approach is patience.
There he is, Bobby Krivitsky, the SportsMap Radio contributor, covers the Celtics for Sports Illustrated, kind enough to join us on the Progressive Guest Line. Bobby, thank you for your time. Enjoy the offseason.
All right, man. Appreciate it. All the best.